Well, folks, can I encourage you, if you have your Bible, to turn to this passage in Jonah. And as we gather here for this Harvest of the Sea, number 72, you will know the answer, of course, to this question, but what one book in the Bible speaks quite a lot about the sea and about sailors and about fish, it is, of course, the book of Jonah, book number 32 in our Bibles. And at one level, we all know the story, but I want us just to look again at this story and think about three very simple things concerning what this passage is saying to us. So if you have your Bible, do follow what we're saying. The first thing is this: running from the Lord. Because we're told at the beginning of Jonah chapter 1, we're told this. Let me remind you what it says. It says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me." And verse 3 says, "But Jonah ran away from the Lord." Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah ran away. Nineveh was not on Jonah's prayer list. Remember reading recently of a group of Dutch people who said that for a long time they sincerely believed that God spoke Dutch. There are some people who think God speaks English. Jonah certainly thought that God spoke only Hebrew, and Nineveh was certainly not on his prayer list. So he ran. And people still run today. Arguably, when we think of our world, there are many people who are running from many different things. There are many people who are running from something. Maybe running from war, running from famine, running from persecution, running from all sorts of dreadful things that are happening. But here's the question: why do people run from the Lord? Let me ask this question: why are you running from the Lord? There can be lots of different answers to that question. It's quite a profound question. You might be running from God because of something in your past, something that has happened, something that you did, something that you maybe feel has caused such a terrible stain that in some ways you just keep running from God. And yet the truth of the matter is that we all have a past, and we should not allow our past to cause us to run away from God. Maybe you're concerned that God will ask you to do something that you really do not want to do. Maybe you're concerned that God will ask you to go somewhere that you really do not want to go. Maybe, like the prodigal son in the gospel, you feel, "Well, God, I just want to enjoy life. And I don't feel that if I come to you, that I will continue to enjoy life." And so you continue to run away from God. Maybe you feel it will cost you too much if you come to God sincerely and truly through Jesus Christ, his Son. Maybe you feel it will cost you your friends. Maybe you feel it will cost you your reputation. Maybe you feel it will cost you your bank balance. There can be lots of different reasons, and many of them twisted and skewed and really quite wrong, as to why people run away from God. Jonah ran away from God. Well, that's the point. He thought he was running away from God. But how can you run away from God? Do you really think this morning that you can run from God? Do you really think that you can somehow run into life and escape God? You remember the words of Psalmist, that famous psalm that speaks of this, Psalm 139. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go into the heights, you are there. If I run into the depths, you are also there. You see, God is everywhere. The fancy word for it is that he is omnipresent, but he's everywhere. You see, you cannot hide from God because God is God. And that's the problem. People don't see God in that way any longer. They see God made in their own image, molded in their own likeness. God's not really very big anymore. But God is big. God is God. God is everywhere. And I say to you this morning, as a preacher and as a pastor and as a minister, I say to you this morning, stop running. Stop running. You see, you can run, but you cannot hide. And anyhow, where are you running to? It's interesting, and I think it is deliberate, that in the text we are told at the beginning of Jonah chapter 1 that it says, Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa. He went down to Joppa. You see, when you're running from God, you're going down. Do you see that? And let me ask you this morning, are you running from God? Because it's a very futile thing to do. Because you can run from God, but you cannot hide from God. And here's the thing, folks, I want you to remember this. When you're running from God, you're going down. You are going down in every sense of that word and at every level of that language, you are going down. Do you see that? And I don't think any of us in life at any level want to be people who are going down. We want to be going up. We want to be making progress. We want to be going forward. So it is a futile and a foolish and an unwise thing to run from God. But you know, this story is not just, of course, about running from the Lord. It's also about returning to the Lord. And maybe, Bill, you can bring that up for me. It doesn't seem to be responding there. Returning to the Lord. Because if you've got your Bible and you and Leslie read the first chapter, and we know the story of how Jonah was sleeping and then he's awakened by his colleagues and they find out what's going on and they realize that this man is running from his God, running from the Lord God Jehovah. And there's a real fear comes into their hearts. And Jonah knows that he's running. And you know when you're running, don't you? And he says, you know, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to throw me overboard. And they throw him overboard. And then the great fish comes. And we're told at the beginning of chapter 2, that from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. And he said, in my distress, I called to the Lord and he answered me from the depths of the grave. I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas, and the current swirled about me and all your waves and breakers swept over me. And chapter 2, whilst we're not expounding it this morning in any detail, is really an exposition. It's really a chapter that speaks about a man returning to the Lord. Like the New Testament prodigal son, this Old Testament prodigal son is brought to an end of himself. And folks, isn't it so true that sometimes it's only when we're brought to an end of ourselves and we realize that we cannot really run from the Lord any longer. And that's a good place to be. And this prodigal son in the Old Testament is not so much sitting with the pigs, he's swimming with the fish. And I want you to notice in this passage, if you have your Bible open, that while we speak of man returning to the Lord, the reality is that God is coming to this man. And that, of course, is the gospel, isn't it? God always takes the initiative. God is a God of grace. And grace is such a wonderful thing. Grace is there before we do anything. And at this time of the year, we begin to think of, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God has come to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And Jonah here realizes that while the sailors threw him into the sea, actually it was the Lord who threw him into the sea. Strange as that language may sound to us. Verse 3, you hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. And he proceeds through this in chapter 2, and he ends there in chapter 2 with those wonderful words, but I with a song of thanksgiving will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the extraordinary thing, folks, is that Jonah begins to realize that even though he's running, that God is coming after him to restore and to renew. Truly, he has grieved the Lord, and it is a fearful thing to grieve the Lord. And yet, in the seemingly helpless, barren place, there is hope. And in his distress, he cries out unto the Lord, and from the depths, he calls for help. Folks, in our world today, for lots of different reasons, this world is full of people who are in distress and are in the depths of despair and all sorts of problems. And yet the tragedy is that few people will do what Jonah does here. People will try to fix their own situation. They will try to get other people to fix it. But they will be so slow to do the very thing that they ought to do, first and foremost, is that is to come to the Lord and say, Lord, I need you. I need you. Lord, come and help me. Come and fix this situation. Lord, come and lead me into a better place. Maybe God is speaking to you this morning. Maybe you are like Jonah and you're actually running from God. Maybe you are like Jonah and you are actually in what we might describe as a backslidden situation. You can think of a day when things were much better spiritually, but you have actually gradually slipped away and you have begun to really run away from the Lord. And things are not coming together. And you know that in your own heart that things are not right. And you know actually in your own heart what you need to do. Maybe God is bringing you to that place today where you call upon him. And you know, the language in these verses reminds us of the Psalms. Jonah, in his predicament, recalls the word of the Lord and makes a conscious decision to turn back to God. He speaks of looking towards God's temple, his prayer rising to the temple of the Lord, and the temple symbolizes the presence of God. And in God's good grace, Jonah is being drawn back, even through very difficult circumstances. Folks, I wonder, have you learned that lesson in life? Sometimes, oftentimes, life is difficult. Life brings us to a place where things haven't quite worked out the way that we thought they were going to work out. And storms come, and the waves are around us, and the winds blow around us. And we say, well, where is God in all of this? Where was God in the midst of what Jonah was going through? Well, here is the extraordinary thing, folks. that the storm came, but it was a storm of grace because God mysteriously was in it. The fish came, and yet it was a provision of grace because God sent it. And the word came to Jonah, and it was a word of grace because God spoke it. And I just want to say to you today, folks, that no matter who you are or what you've done or what your past is or what situation you're in, are you like Jonah? Are you running? Well, hear his voice today. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. Return to the Lord. Return to the Lord. There's an old hymn in the old hymn book, which has a lovely little verse. The Spirit calls today, yield to his power. Oh, grieve him not away. 'Tis mercy's hour. And this is the hour of mercy. This is the hour of grace. And as I've said today, if you hear his voice speaking, calling you back, don't harden your heart. Just come. And the third and final thing is that we see this man running from the Lord and returning to the Lord and being reinstated for the Lord. Verse 1 of chapter 3, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. Folks, that's magnificent. That is glorious. And that is grace. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. If it had been left probably to most of us, we would not have given Jonah another chance. He blew his chance. He had his chance, but he blew it. But God is not like us. He is gracious. Go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. You see, again, notice grace comes first. The gracious word of the gospel comes again to Jonah, and he responds. He believes, he repents, and he obeys. Jonah obeyed before when God had spoken. He ran away, but now he obeyed. And you know, folks, the evidence of knowing God is obeying God. You understand that, I hope. The evidence of knowing God is not just about making a profession that goes back to some time in the past, but it's not really seen in the here and now. Jonah demonstrated that he was truly wanting to go on with God because of his obedience. You know, people sometimes profess faith in Jesus Christ, but if it's not tied in with a desire to follow and to obey the Lord, then it is at best a cheap grace and at worst a false profession. And so, folks, today, as we think about this passage, I want you to think about this story. And essentially, I want you to think about what the Lord is saying to us through many other things. Are you running from God today? It's very foolish to try to run from God. And if you continue to run from God, you're going down. But there is a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open that we may go in. And it's the way of Jesus. It's the way of Calvary. It's the way of repentance and faith and returning to the Lord. And I just want to invite you as I finish, and I'll ask Bill just to put up that last slide. And you will know what that is. I like to use that slide on the harvest of the sea. It's the Blue Peter flag. And those of you who are fishermen know that it's the flag that's hoisted. We're about to sail. Get on board. And I simply say to you today as a preacher, get on board with Jesus Christ. Stop running. Stop thinking so much about what your friends are going to say or what somebody else is going to say if you get on board with Jesus. If Jesus Christ is God, and if he died and rose again and is coming back, what odds what anybody else is going to say? It really doesn't matter at all. If these things are true, get on board with the Lord Jesus and live for him and obey him and serve him with all your heart. And God will bless you. And God will use you. And God will enable you to step out as you follow him to influence others for Jesus. So, folks, today, why would you not get on board with Jesus? Why? Be wise today. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Let us pray. Father, in the midst of many different things, help us to hear your voice and not to harden our hearts, but to respond and to get on board with Jesus. Lord, hear our prayer. For Christ's sake, we ask it. Amen.